You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
My name is Richard, and it's great to be with you. And we are finishing off today our series in the book of Revelation. It's my joy to tell you the end is here. And so, we like endings, right? We like endings if they're good. And this is a great ending. And so, speaking of endings, I'm going to take you back to 2019. You remember like hundreds of years ago before the pandemic? Yeah. How many TV show watchers have we got here? There was two significant TV shows that came to an end in 2019. One was called Game of Thrones. Any Game of Thrones fans here? And one was called The Big Bang Theory. It was my favorite. And so, yeah, there we go. So it feels like a lifetime away now if I look at that. But in 2019, why did 1.5 million fans petition HBO to rewrite the Game of Thrones final season? They were not happy. Why did 18 million viewers tune into The Big Bang Theory spoiler alert finale cheering when the elevator was fixed? And so if that rings true, you know why, okay? Why? Because endings matter. People want things resolved. They want character development to come to its fullness. They want tensions to be resolved. They want whatever it is, whatever it's been going on in the middle, the struggles, the mess, they want it to all be resolved. Leslie Newbegin, he was a missiologist, he says it like this: the way we understand human life depends on what conception we have of the human story. What is the real story of which my life, your life, our lives are a part? And so we live in the middle. We live in the middle between the beginning and the end. Every good story has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And that's how humans have always made sense of life. We tell stories of where we came from. We tell stories of what our hope and dreams are for the future. You have a family story. You have a personal story. We have a national story. And as we're going to discover today, we also have a cosmic story, and it's moving towards something glorious. And so Scripture is no different. Genesis is the first book of our Bibles. It's also the book of beginnings, of origins. It tells a lot of about, a lot of answers, a lot of questions, certainly from a Christian worldview point of view. And then Revelation is a book of endings. It's the last book of the Bible, but it also speaks to where the future is heading and brings about some resolution as well. And we live in the messy middle. We live right now in the middle between those beautiful, glorious beginning and that glorious ending, which we're going to look at, and it's less glorious in the middle, right? It's messy. And so what is the future looking like for us? And so join me in Revelation chapter 21. We're going to read 6 verses, but the last 2 chapters of Revelation, in a very poetic and a very beautiful way, really mirror the first 2 chapters, Genesis 1 and 2. And so we're going to pick up some themes that transcend throughout Scripture, that get resolution in the end, and then shape how we should live today. So join with me. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. He will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful that you've placed us in this land and in this story of Canada for such a time as this. But Lord, we know that Canada forms part of a bigger story that's going on, your story, from beginning to end. And so I pray that you would grip our hearts to be part of what you're doing in this grand story. And Lord, that we would be a people that live with faith, endurance, and hope today, because we know where this story is going. And so, Father, do what you do best today. Would you open our hearts to receive your truth? What each person needs to hear today, would they hear? For your glory, our joy, and the good of others. Amen. Right, so Revelation points to a vision. And if you're new, you're jumping in. So John is this guy who's been getting visions, lots of different visions. And this final vision he gets of where ultimately the end of the world, but really is the beginning of a new world. And he's beginning to describe it to us, describe it to his first hearers, and then obviously to us because it's in Scripture. And it's amazing. I think in some ways this is often the Bible's best kept secret, because he's really painting a picture of heaven that is very earthy. When we think of heaven, sometimes we think of clouds, harps, fat babies. I don't know why. But we think of something that's very non-earthy, non-material, spiritual, and we'll dive into why that is a little bit today. But from beginning to end, Scripture reveals ways that God is bringing about renewal based upon what he began in Genesis, and now we see resolved at the end of the story. Four key dimensions we're going to look at today that are in desperate need of God's renewing work, God's salvation work in our lives, restoring his original intent for creation and ultimately for human flourishing. So very quickly, we're just going to go through these four key dimensions that he is renewing. The first one is presence. That tells us that God is dwelling with mankind, humankind. God dwells with mankind. God's dwelling place is now among the people. He will dwell with them. If you know your Bible remotely well, that will echo back to Genesis 1 and 2, that he creates the earth, spends 6 days creating this world. And the pinnacle of his creation is mankind, humankind. Puts them in a garden, and he walks with them, dwells with them. That's been his desire. We see heaven and earth, God's space, our space, seamlessly overlapping. And so that was his desire, always walking with humanity in the garden. What happened is sin broke that. The fall broke that. There was separation, alienation from us with God. And so throughout Scripture, it tells the amazing redemptive story that God didn't give up on us, but through the tabernacle, through the temple, and ultimately through Jesus himself, God kept moving toward us. God keeps moving toward us, and now Revelation presents the fullness of that. Once again, God will dwell with his people. His presence will be fully restored. Throughout Scripture, one of the covenantal marks of blessing and life in an individual and nation's life is God's presence. Where God's presence is blessing and life flourish. And so we see ultimately in the end the fullness of that. No longer any separation, no longer any alienation, no longer any of the things that would hinder that. We see that in this vision. And this really fulfills our soul's deepest longing and desire to be known and to be loved by God. And often we feel in a very distracted age, we try to fill that need with many other things, many even other good things. But the reality is, if that is something that can only be filled by God, that anything else is going to just be a poor substitute. And so we try to fill it with great things, good things, marriage, parenting, careers, success, pleasure, experience, comfort, you name it, whatever your drug of choice is, whatever my drug of choice is. But ultimately, it's a space reserved for God in our lives. And when we get connected back to that, there's a sense of life that can come into our lives. So we're not made just to believe in God, not made just to know of God. The Scripture says even the demons know that. So we're not great company if that's like, I know about God. We were made to enjoy God. We were made to long for his presence, to enjoy God, for his presence and walking with him to be one of the most natural things ever. We were created to walk with God in the cool of the day. And we see that's where ultimately we're going. And so if we're living in the middle of God's story, if we're living in the middle of this epic story, then God matters. Your relationship, my relationship matters with this God. So where have you grown numb to his presence in your life? And what might seeking his presence, longing for his presence, pursuing his presence look like again in my life, in your life, even in this coming week? And so I encourage you, that is what we were made for. That is where we're going. That should shape how we live now. Number two, we're not just made for God, we're made for one another. We see a people. We see it's described as a city, and it's described as a bride. Now, some of us, we live in a city, we have a love-hate relationship with the city. So that might be the nicest analogy. But he's not talking about skyscrapers and 401 traffic coming down from heaven. We're hoping that's going to the other place. No more traffic in heaven. He's not talking about that. A city is an intensification of humanity. You know, God's desire was humans to build and cultivate culture and civilization, to co-create essentially with God. And we see this. We see a vision. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her people, for her husband, sorry. It's speaking of the people of God, the church, the redeemed people of God, those that have placed their faith and trust and follow Jesus. We see them in Revelation 7:9. He gets a vision of what this people looks like, and it says it's a people from every nation, every tribe, every language, every people. Way back in Genesis, God creates mankind, and he says it's not good for mankind to be alone. It's not good. God's design for human life was always for it to be relational. As much as we need God in our life and we need God in our life, we also need one another. In fact, these four dimensions really are a definition of what it means to be human. True human is orientated around God, but it's also orientated around you and I. You know, if you were dumped on Castaway. If you were dumped like Tom Cruise on the island, it's not good. I mean, as much as Wilson, his beloved friend, helped him get through, that is a great picture of it's not good for us to be alone. And so sin, just like it disrupted our relationship with God, it disrupted our relationship with you and I, right? It's hard to get along. It's never meant to be like that, but it's hard to get along with one another. We see sin introduce blame into our relationships, isolation, and even violence. It deteriorates pretty rapidly if you follow the Genesis account into physical violence to one another, never a part of God's original intent. And yet here now in Revelation, we see this city, this bride, this people, a collective of just every nation, tribe, language, and people coming down from heaven. Only that God could do. And we see a beautiful picture of that. And so it reminds us that the gospel reconciles us, not just to God, but the gospel has the power to reconcile us to one another, to overcome the barriers that get in between one another. If you look at every human culture, there's always cultures, every human culture sets up some kind of system where these people are seen as better than these people. I was 30 years in South Africa, it was between black and white, apartheid. You go to all black cultures, it's between different tribes. You go to all whatever, it's we find a way to have division, is what I'm trying to say. We find a way, that's the sinful condition, and Jesus reverses that. He breaks down all the divisions, male, female, doesn't matter. You're from this side of the tracks, that doesn't matter. Social class, doesn't matter. Economic, doesn't matter. The grace and the gospel of Jesus Christ levels the playing field. And that is what we're meant to be today. We're meant to be a preview, a picture of this heavenly community. And even in the church, sometimes we don't get it right. It's hard to have unity even in the church, but it is something we are to work towards as we see this. And so, once again, if we are living in the midst of God's grand story of renewal, then people matter. All people matter. not just your people. You know, we say my people, these are my people. Oftentimes we refer to our family or our friends or our social network, and that's awesome. That's great. But all people matter to God. All people must matter to us. Those people, yes, they matter. They matter to God. They must matter to us. Palestinians, Israelis, they matter to God. They must matter to us. Americans, Russians, they matter to God. They must matter to us. So that is what the picture of Revelation is talking about and saying. So a community thrives. We see a community thriving, but a community needs to thrive in a place. And so this is the third place, third dimension that God is renewing and making new, as we see from Revelation. We are made to inhabit creation. And this might be one of the more surprising things, I think, when we think about where the future is heading and what eternity with God looks like. Because once again, we've had a domination of a non-material existence afterlife, but Revelation certainly speaks of a very physical creation. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death." In the creation account, in the second creation account, it tells us that mankind was made from the earth. God picked up the raw materials of the earth, and out of that he made us. And so not only does it mean to be human, to be in relationship with God, to be in relationship with one another, but to be human means to be in relationship with the material world that we live in our existence. Why is it so moving when we see all those beautiful images of our country? Because we have a connection to the land. God spent 6 days creating all that you see and experience, and every time he finished, he said, "It's good, it's good, it's good. It's good." And so we will see that we were made from the ground and placed in a garden to cultivate beauty and take responsibility for it. But once again, sin not only broke relationship with God, alienation, separation, broke and fractured our relationship with one another, but also broke our relationship with the earth to the point that the earth is cursed because of our sin, that it's not as friendly as it could be or should be to us. We have to toil. It's not easy sometimes. And we see death and decay even comes to the earth. In Romans 8, Paul captures this. He says the earth, the whole creation, has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Okay, spoiler alert, I've never given birth, but I do believe childbirth pains are intense. Creation is longing to have what some of you and I have been gifted, a born-again experience. New chance, second life. Creation's longing for that day. Creation is looking forward to Revelation, where it itself will have a fresh start, break free from the curse. Can you imagine? As beautiful as, I mean, sometimes you get caught away with the beauty of the earth, right? You go to Banff or some of the places there or where it is in nature. Can you imagine what that's going to be like without the curse on it? Can you imagine what agriculture and harvest is going to look like without the curse? But we see it all around us. Even we know in this nation, wildfires, we see the devastation that the curse has brought even to our natural world. Natural disasters, climate anxiety, the deep ache of living in what we see as a broken environment. But here's the great news. God reveals through Revelation that he is going to not discard the earth, that he's going to renew the earth, redeem the earth. Heaven comes to earth, not us to heaven. Heaven comes to earth. Did you see the direction there? Heaven's coming down to earth once again. And we see a reversal, a complete reversal of the curse in Genesis 3. No more death, mourning, crying, and pain. So in the first century, as the movement of Jesus was getting some traction, there was a lot of different ideas that came up. And some of them had to be considered and seen, no, that's not true or is true. And now we know that they had to deal with a lot of what we call heresies, right? For the first century, Jesus wasn't really God. He just kind of like, Jesus wasn't really human, all those kind of things. And they're very helpful for us because they help us know what is true, and they had to battle. But the early church battled with a lot of these kind of things. And so there was something called Gnosticism, was an early controversy in the early church. And early Gnosticism devalued the material world. They thought everything was spiritual was to escape the material, to escape the body was seen to be spiritual, and it was prioritized. And honestly, this heresy lingers today. This heresy really lingers today. Many of us, we dismiss our bodies, we dismiss our work, what we do, we dismiss the environment as unimportant, or certainly not as important as some other more spiritual things. And God, through Revelation, is telling us, God called creation, the physical world, good. Jesus came to earth in what? A human body. He was resurrected with what? A glorified body. You too will one day be glorified in a new body if your hope and faith is in Jesus. And lastly, heaven comes to earth. What part of the material world do we not get that God loves and God is going to do something about and God's going to redeem? And so we often, still to this day, ignore the material world. We ignore our bodies, looking after our bodies. We ignore our work, don't think it's important, get frustrated with it, part of the curse, right? Or even our environment, as if they don't matter to God, yet it does to him, and he's going to redeem all of it. So, once again, if we are living in this great, grand story of renewal, then the material world matters. Creation matters. Your body matters. Your work matters. Your environment, our environment, matters to God, and it should matter to us. And so a renewed place allows a humanity to flourish with God, and allows us to live out the fourth dimension that is so crucial to us, is purpose. Purpose. We need to have purpose in our lives, and we were made to reflect God's reign throughout creation. And so to see just how powerful this is, I want to jump to Revelation 22, 1 verse 5, and again, see if you recognize something familiar from Genesis chapters 1 and 2. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. And so this is a picture of paradise, the Garden of Eden, not just restored, but fulfilled. Fulfilled. We go back to the origin. So you see, the beauty continuously just beautifully ties in God's original purpose. We see ultimately he will see through. And so once again, we were created to reflect God. We were created in the image of God, it tells us in Genesis, to reflect God, be godlike in the sense over his creation, to take care of it, to cultivate it, to start families, start businesses, create art, do all the things, bring order and beauty to the raw materials that he had given us. That's what our purpose was. In a sense, to reign over the creation, a delegated authority by God to us in his image. Once again, what happens? Sin distorts that. Not only gets in the way of relationship with God, with one another and with creation, but distorts our purpose, distorts our calling. And so what we do now is we either idolize or demonize work. Idolize, it becomes a god. We become enslaved to career. We become enslaved to these things. We become enslaved to producing and being productive. Or we demonize it. We do everything to avoid it. Right? We do everything to avoid work, to avoid productivity, to avoid responsibility. And so both are distortions of what we were ultimately created for. But in Revelation, we see this is redeemed. We see what we're back in a garden, but not just a garden now. It's a garden city, civilization, human culture, language is going to come into the new heaven and new earth. And we are going to reign with Christ. We are going to reign with him over creation. We are going to take the raw materials of a renewed earth and fulfill what we were intended to do back in Genesis 1 and 2. The future is not a matter of idle rest, but rather active participation. Your gifts, your creativity, your skills and work matter, not just today, but eternally. N.T. Wright, he puts it well like this. He says, the point of the resurrection is that the present bodily life is not valueless just because it will die. What you do with your body in the present matters because God has a great future in store for it. What you do in the present by painting, preaching, singing, sewing, praying, teaching, building hospitals, digging wells, campaigning for justice, writing poems, caring for the needy, loving your neighbor as yourself, will last into God's future. These activities are not simply ways of making the present life a little less beastly, a little more bearable, until the day when we leave it all behind altogether. They are part of what we may call building for God's kingdom. You know, so often I grew up with a salvation message that said, you're a sinner, Jesus loves you, died for you, and if you believe in him, pray this prayer, you get forgiven, and you'll go to be with him when you die and go to heaven. Okay, a variation of that, right? Many of you probably had a variation of that. And it's not untrue that Jesus does love us. We are in need of his forgiveness. But my goodness, does it leave a lot out. So many people have just got their life after earth, heaven ticket in their back pocket and just trudging through life. And I think the gospel speaks a far better word for your day-to-day life. And I think Revelation tells us about it. It matters. It matters. Relationships, having meals with people matter, because you'll do that in the next life as well. It matters. Building, working for justice, what you do. I'm not saying every aspect of your job is glorious, right? I mean, I'll be honest with you. There's parts of being a pastor are not glorious at all, okay? I don't know if that shocks some of you. But just like you don't have nice parts about your job, there's not so nice parts about any job. I don't care what you're doing. I'm sure the Pope would say the same thing, because a lot of our jobs, we work with people, and people can be nice and people can be the worst. Pastoring can be the worst sometimes because you deal with some bad people, including yourself, okay? But everything that we do, everything that we are, everything that we experience is in some way redemptive and will be able, and I'm not sure how it's all, and this is, the point of Genesis 1 and 2 is not a scientific manual of how the world was created, okay? And if you read it like that, you're going to be disappointed. Or you can say, look, the Bible is so simple. And it's not there. It wasn't their intention. It's way deeper questions of why and what and that kind of thing. And it's the same in Revelation. There's so much here. It's like, well, how is that exactly going to work? And that's not his intent. What his intent, though, is to say that God is faithful then. And what he began, my goodness, he is going to see through. Trust him. Trust him. And you're seeing these themes from the beginning to the end consistently through Scripture. So if that's what matters in the beginning, and as we've seen, this is what matters in the end, well, guess what matters today? Presence, your relationship with God matters. How is it? Two, people, your relationships with people matter. How is that going? Three, the material creation world around you matters. How is our relationship with that? And four, your purpose. Your purpose is not just idle or aimless. Matters. It matters to God, and it should matter to us. And so how do we live in the middle of the story? When we set out to unpack the book of Revelation, we weren't interested in finding a book that somehow is some secret code to decipher the end times. We wanted to look at it as a word for us today, and a word that would increase our faith, increase our endurance, and give us hope today because of where the end is going. And I hope we've done a good job in that. And central to that hope and that faith and endurance is Jesus Christ. Central to the story of God is Jesus Christ. You can't read Scripture and miss him. He's the central part of this whole story. No renewal happens without him. No renewal in your relationship with God, your relationship with one another, relationship with the world. No renewal happens outside of Jesus. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. And maybe fittingly, as we come up to Canada Day, one of my favorite Canadian theologians, Michael Pollan, writes it like this. Recognizing Jesus as the center, even the beginning and the end, of this grand narrative of God, of humanity, and all creation, in no way takes away from our own role in this master story. Indeed, it is only through seeing Jesus' role in the story that we can even find ourselves in this tale of good news, as we are written into the narrative by following Jesus in faith and love. It is in this sense that it is appropriate to think of ourselves as right in the middle of this story. And what a difference this perspective makes. We are not the center of the story. Jesus is, but we are in the middle of his story. Your life matters. It certainly matters to him. It mattered enough for him to do what he did for us, not just individually, but collectively, and not just collectively, what he did for the cosmos, what he did for everything that was affected by the sin and by the fall. And so these four dimensions, in some ways very relational dimensions, presence, people, place, purpose, they're critical to what it means to be human, to what it means to have human flourishing. And we see that. We see a deficit in any of those relationships limits our capacity to flourish as human beings. We dehumanize one another when we begin to not operate in these dimensions. And this is what was so radical about Jesus and at his time, is he brought value to every human life. He brought a value to people in a society that really was discriminatory. If you were female, it was rough going in the first century. You could argue maybe it still is, but Jesus was radically different in his interaction with women. He set about a level playing field. If you were on a poor part of the town, radically discriminated, left out. And Jesus, we see, goes about loving people in a way that was so different because he saw them through different eyes. And so these four dimensions are critical of renewing in our lives. They're broken in each of our lives. They are absolutely broken in your life. You can do some things to tweak it. You can do some things to make it better, for sure. But make no mistake, we need the intervention of help outside of ourselves to fix any aspect of these lives. And the good news is that's what Jesus came to do. On a personal level, on a collective level, and my goodness, on a cosmic level, as we see in Revelation 21 and 22. And the invitation is so beautiful that we read, anyone who wants to taste the water of life, anyone who wants to taste the tree of life, anyone wants to taste this kind of life without cost, because it was costly, but it wasn't paid by you or me, it was paid by him, is free to come and receive it on a personal level, collective level, and a cosmic level. Because of Jesus, you, me, we can walk with God again, enjoy his presence. We can begin to belong to one another again. This is what we are striving as a church, to be a picture to a world. This is what community looks like. Not perfect. Absolutely not perfect. It's why we want to build a church that's every nation, every ethnicity. Not because it's bad not to build like that, but because if that's what heaven's going to be like, let's get started here. Because the only thing that can make sense to bring people from such different backgrounds is Jesus. Like, at the end of the day, it's hard, right? When you have to speak a different language, we have to learn a different culture. And so we see that. But because of Jesus, we can belong to one another. Because of Jesus, we can care for a world he loves. Climate change should not be some political activist. It should be the people of God who care about this creation because God cares about this creation. And that we should look and steward it well because that's part of our original purpose. And lastly, we can reign with him. We can begin to reign, exercise our God-given, God-bearing image onto this planet again. And as we do that faithfully, we bring him glory. All of those require renewal. But Jesus has already begun making all things new, starting with you and me. And so I want to end today. I want to end this sermon. I want to end this series. I want to end with a benediction that I want to invite you to stand. And if you are a person of faith, I want you to join me in this benediction, and then I want to turn it back to our worship team to lead us in a song. But let me speak this over you and I today. Go now in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who was, who is, and who is to come. Live today as those who know how the story ends. with God dwelling among us, every tear wiped away, all things made new. May the Spirit empower you to love boldly, serve faithfully, and shine brightly as signs of the new creation breaking into this world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you as you live out and fulfill all that God designed for you at the beginning, is destined you for the end. Do it now for His glory, your joy, and the good of others.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.